coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations with Pastor Gregory Seltz.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. So how's life treating you? You might think, not so great, but Pastor Gregory Seltz says you might be exactly where God needs you to be right now.
God needs the right people in what we at first might think are the wrong places. He showed that most of all when he sent his Son to save us. In fact, another way of saying the good news of the gospel of Jesus for the whole world is that Jesus was the right person in what seemed the wrong place, the place of our sin and judgment.
Stay with us for Pastor Gregory Seltz's message. Later, we'll meet Patty Ross and hear how the Lutheran Women's Missionary League encourages women to grow in faith and in sharing Christ with others here and around the world. We'll also discuss the practice of giving something up for Lent. Hello, I'm Mark Eicher. Now with a message titled, It's Worth the Sacrifice. Here's our speaker, Dr. Gregory Seltz.
That I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. In his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul said in chapter 3, verse 8, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord. Now, what was he talking about? Well, Paul had just finished summarizing all the reasons he possessed to be confident in his own strength, his lineage, and learning. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews who was born into the right family. He kept the essential laws and was educated by the most renowned teachers. He was on the track of upward mobility by working hard and by rocketing to the top of leadership. He was the fair-haired boy, the prodigy, the next generation leader for the Pharisees. He and the whole world saw his position as clear advantage. Well, these days he would be the number one draft pick, the New York Times bestseller, the box office blockbuster. So in Philippians chapter 3, Paul commented on that leading man life, that life envied by all. He said, Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the all-surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Paul called all of his advantages garbage, rubbish, in order that he could gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of his own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Jesus, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Now, does this make any sense to you? I mean, who would say that having all the right breaks in life and being in the right place at the right time could ever be considered rubbish, even loss? It's a massive reversal, isn't it? I mean, was Paul out of his mind, or did he know something that we don't know? Back in the late 70s, a group of psychologists at Northwestern University, they decided to study happiness levels of lottery winners. The study's findings were surprising. Lottery winners who had received from $50,000 to $1 million in the past year rated their daily enjoyment of life lower than neighbors who lived in their own neighborhood who won nothing. Another cadre of researchers from the University of Rochester in New York followed a group of college graduates as they pursued their postgraduate careers, their goals, and dreams. How happy were the graduates who began to achieve their goals of wealth and fame? Not as happy as the graduates who set their sights on personal growth and meaningful relationships. One student commented, The whole process of being so on the treadmill to wealth, fame, and image leaves me feeling like a pawn or a puppet in this life. I wonder if that's exactly what Paul experienced as he chased after what he thought happiness was. But then Jesus showed him something eternal, something he could never attain on his own, a life of forgiveness, restoration, and hope that lasts forever. Suddenly, all of Paul's advantages were nothing compared to the gift of knowing Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. I guess happiness depends, then, on what you're comparing yourself to. And here's another way that we get things so very wrong. We tend to look around at others, and yes, let the comparisons begin, we say. It's so easy these days to compare your life with everyone else's. If someone looks like they're having a great time because of their latest Facebook post, you may end up feeling miserable. If your coworker's car is extra shiny or your neighbor takes a really nice vacation, you can end up thinking like you're a failure. Comparison can kill your spirit. It lies to you about your life. You can think everyone's marriage, job, kids, health, and bank account are better than yours. Such comparison never leaves you satisfied. It causes you to wish your life away and see your life as only what you can do. Such comparisons can even lead you to lose God's unique purpose for your existence. So let me make a bold statement to you today. Think about things this way. Did you ever stop to contemplate that you may be exactly where God needs you to be right now? You may not like your job very much, but maybe, just maybe, God wants you there so that you can accomplish His purposes in that place. You may be feeling frustrated in your marriage, but I wonder if you're in that place because God wants you to grow in compassion, self-sacrifice, and patience. You may think that you're of no use to anyone because of your illness or age, but God could have placed you in this strategic situation in order to reach a nurse or a caregiver or a fellow sufferer with His love and grace through your conversation, your presence, and even your prayers. You may be tired of your complicated and busy life, phone calls, appointments, dealing with people all the time. But all those people and contacts may be exactly the platform God wants you to have so that others can know the gift of His eternal life. You may be exactly where God needs you to be right now, even if you're not that fond of the location. Many years ago, renowned author, thinker, and former atheist G.K. Chesterton wrote the Father Brown Mysteries. Now, Father Brown was a humble and sometimes bumbling priest who solved the most difficult of crimes. He also conveyed deep spiritual insight. In one story, as Father Brown tried to unravel a particularly difficult situation, he realized that he may have hit a dead end. He almost gave up, but then he said, "Never mind, one can sometimes do good by being the right person in the wrong place." Let me say that again. Never mind, one can sometimes do good by being the right person in the wrong place. You see, you may be the right person in the wrong place, but in Christ, you are God's person in a place even amidst what is difficult and trying. Well, that's where the Apostle Paul found himself. And listen to the powerful words he said. "I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. In Him, no matter what, it was worth the sacrifice." God needs the right people in what we at first might think are the wrong places. He showed that most of all when He sent His Son to save us. In fact, another way of saying the good news of the gospel of Jesus for the whole world is that Jesus was the right person in what seemed the wrong place, the place of our sin and judgment. I mean, after all, He was and is the perfect and holy Son of God. No one else could do what Jesus did. He was the Lamb without blemish, the perfect sacrifice for our sin. He died to make amends for us before God, because He was the Holy One who took the punishment we deserved. Jesus, the God-man in the flesh, rose from the dead to conquer death forever. He overcame everything that would separate you and me from eternal life with God, the God who loves us. Jesus is the right person for you and for the whole world. But the place of His sacrifice was greater than we can imagine. The Bible says that God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. He was sent to our world, a world broken by sin, filled with violence and chaos, a world that became very wrong. You know, you experience that every day, whether it's the wars that rage, the angry rhetoric that fills the airwaves, the personal pain you endure, or the failures you regret. You know this world has gone very wrong. But to save it, God sent the right person, Jesus, your Savior, Redeemer, and friend, to the wrong place so that we could again find our place in God's family forever. And He's not only our Savior. He's our friend, closer than a brother or a sister. Even though rejected by this world, mocked, beaten, and put to death, even as He died, He cried out, "Father, forgive them." That's God's love for you in action in Jesus. He gave His life for you, to save you, to forgive you, to give you strength, and to provide you with eternal hope. Jesus was and is the right person in a very wrong place, and it was worth the sacrifice. You were worth the sacrifice. And even more, now we have the honor of being the right people, redeemed and restored in a bunch of wrong places to shine Jesus' light for others. You know, we share in His suffering so that others might be blessed with the joy and the hope of His resurrection. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and share His sufferings, becoming like Him in death, that by any means possible I might attain the resurrection from the dead. And he says it realistically, not that I've already obtained all this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. And don't you love when he says this? This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Whatever Paul was called to do, whatever he had to give up, whatever sacrifice needed to be made for the sake of the upward call of God, it was completely worth it. Well, what about that kind of life? Graced, loved, forgiven, saved, no matter what the circumstances. What about that kind of life? Not just for today, but forever. What about living boldly in that way of life, no matter what? Well, Julian Drain was driving his 18-wheeler in Michigan last November when he found himself in a place he didn't want to be. A little boy had wandered into the middle of a busy highway. Julian was headed right for him in his truck. He slammed on his brakes, stopped his truck, and he ran across the road and scooped him up in his arms. Witnesses say that Julian was just inches from risking his own life. That's not what Julian planned that day. It's not a scenario he imagined as thoughts of his own son and expectant wife coursed through his mind. He could have died. But he said, God had me in the right place at the right time. No one would choose that kind of trouble. But Julian Drain realized that God had other plans for him that day. Sometimes you face things you'd rather not do, and you find yourself in places you'd rather not be. Sometimes you wish your life was different, but God may have grand plans for you or for someone else even then. Frank found himself in a dialysis lab as his kidneys failed. He went through treatment several times each week. Each treatment lasted for hours. Frank would have never chosen to be there, but over time he became friends with his fellow patients. They talked and they shared. They discussed hopes and dreams. They were honest about their fears, and Frank got the opportunity to share his eternal hope in Jesus. After a time, that dialysis lab became a church. Frank brought recordings of sermons for the group to listen to. They prayed together. Why, some of those fellow dialysis patients came to faith in Jesus too. Hearts opened up to God even as kidneys shut down. Ask Frank, he'll tell you. It was worth the sacrifice. Be careful when you compare. God may need you exactly where you are in order to show and share His love and grace with a broken world. But no matter where you are or where you find yourself today, remember this. Your life is important and you matter eternally to God. That's the fact. Look to the baby of the manger who is God become flesh, vulnerable to this world so that you and I might be saved. You matter. Look at the cross where Jesus could have come down, wiped out his enemies and judged us all by his righteousness, but he didn't. He hung on that cross. He died for our sins so that real life with God could be ours forever. You matter. It's important now at this very moment, as you look to the sacrifices of Jesus made all for you, that you remember in him you are God's irreplaceable son or daughter exactly where you are right now. St. Paul reminds us that no matter what is going on at the moment, believers can look forward to what lies ahead with a confidence to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Yes, press on. There is a harvest coming. Don't give up today. There is a victory at the finish line for all who trust in Jesus. Don't compare your life with another person's situation. Don't miss your unique call by yearning for fame and riches, retirement, peace and quiet, or even perfect health. You can trust your Savior no matter what. Hang on to the eternal hope he gives you. It's worth the sacrifice. So if all this is true, then how should we face the troubles we have? If victory is assured, how would we pray? How would we love? How would we serve? Well, I think that you would live even more boldly. You'd strive even more diligently. You'd attack problems more confidently. I'd take myself less seriously. I remember the joys more fervently. I'd forget the failures more quickly. And above all, I'd value the people God brings into my life more preciously, because I would want to get the full effect of the victory, the eternal victory, all along the way. So don't be afraid to live this way today, no matter what you face, whether today is one of cheers or fears or even tears, whether there is wonder or celebration, you matter to Jesus. His sacrifice for you is worth it, and the struggles of this life are worth it when we serve him and others in his name. The day is coming when your work this side of heaven is done. It will be a day of mission accomplished. You'll finally be at rest with Jesus and ultimately attain the resurrection forever and ever in him. For now, though, roll up your sleeves for the contest. Give it your best in him. He won't let you down now or ever. Press on. Be encouraged. Know his love and strength and grace and compassion and forgiveness and eternal life. Sharing that with others, it's worth it. The sacrifice. Amen.
You're listening to the Lutheran Hour, and this is Action in Ministry. And Pastor Seltz, today in your message, you said God is calling us to be the right people in the wrong place for the sake of others.
Yeah. Well, Mark, you know, even when we feel stretched or we feel stressed, we might be exactly where God wants us to be so that others can hear about him.
Joining us today is Patty Ross. She's president of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. She's been part of that dynamic organization for many years, and we're glad that she's here to talk with us today about how women can live lives that are focused on mission.
Yeah, Patty, thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
And tell us a little bit about the LWML.
Well, the LWML is an organization for women within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that really is focused on helping women become equipped to be the best they can be with the gifts that God's given them.
Right.
And that Wonderful. Includes mission outreach, mission service.
Well, all I can tell you is I've been a part of one of their big conventions, and that's exactly what's going on. It's very inspirational, and they really get to work. But you know what I also enjoyed, Patty? The ladies really love each other, too, and they really enjoy being together, even as they do the hard work of mission and ministry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So LWML is educating women about missions. You're also raising support for mission efforts and for missionaries, but you're also equipping women to share Christ within their own circles, at home, with their families, and in their communities. How do you do that?
Oh, absolutely, Mark. Well, we have a big emphasis on providing materials and resources for women to go to. We have a lot of mustard seed devotions, we call them, because they're very small devotions. Mm-hmm. We have those on our website as daily devotions. And a lot of those center around situations or just areas that they might run into in their everyday life.
Well, speaking of that, too, we have a booklet called Live the Six, and it's to help people learn how to do things in a mission-minded way each and every day. And that's exactly what you're doing with women of the LWML. Mark, because women are busy.
Very much so, yes.
In fact, y'all wear many, many hats, and you carry the burdens of living with friends and loved ones and dealing with them in a way that cares about them in a very special mission-focused way. So how can women live missionally right where God has placed them, Patty?
Well, of course, their first mission, I think, is in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
But we also realize that there are other people in their homes, in other places, that maybe don't know about Jesus. And so we do like to educate our women as well as support mission grants that support the other people that are speaking with those people in their homes and tell them about Jesus.
Coming alongside of others that are also doing
right,
that work as well.
Right,
so,
yeah,
pouring oneself into others' lives, you know, focusing on the needs of others like you've been talking about. That can be overwhelming, and you think about all the responsibilities that wives and mothers and folks have working outside of the home, too. How do women keep all that together, and how do you help encourage them in that?
LWML is a great sisterhood. It's all across the United States, and of course, we love to get together and have a good time centered around God's Word, and we have conferences and conventions and things like that where we can just get people in touch with speakers and events they can actually participate in and feel like they're in the mission field.
Mutual encouragement.
Yeah.
And listeners, if you'd like to know more about the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, you can find a link to them on our page, LutheranHour.org. And our booklet, Live the Six, can be a great resource in helping you change the way you think about your life and the people around you, just like we've been talking about today. In just a moment, I'll tell you more about how you can get a copy of that resource for yourself.
And Patty, you know, we look forward to hearing more about how God is using you and others with that mission-minded life. Mm-hmm. It's great to have you here. Thanks for serving as LWML President, and again, thanks for being here with us today.
Thanks for letting me share with you.
You're welcome. And that's our Action in Ministry segment today to bless, to empower, and to strengthen your life in Christ for others.
The name of the resource is Live the Six. You can view or download this material for free at LutheranHour.org. Look for the tab called Action in Ministry or call 1-855-John-3-16. That's 1-855-564-6316. To learn more about the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, visit lwml.org. Each week, the Lutheran Hour shares the message of God's forgiving love for us in Jesus Christ. Your prayers and gifts help the Lutheran Hour share that good news directly through education and media, and indirectly by supporting congregations and church bodies in their outreach efforts. To learn more about the worldwide outreach of Lutheran Hour Ministries, call 1-855-564-6316. Together, we are bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Now Pastor Seltz leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
giving something up for Lent. What's the point of that? Pastor Gregory Seltz responds to questions. I'm Mark Eicher. You know, some people during this season of the year stop eating certain foods. They might give up chocolate or snacks. So the question is, what's that all about, and should I give up something for Lent?
Well, we've talked about the season of Lent on the show before, but I don't think we've ever addressed this practice of giving something up in depth.
Well, I know someone, for example, who gives up posting on Facebook during the entire season of Lent. What does that mean?
Well, I'd like to do that once in a while myself. But let me just say right away, there's no requirement in the Bible or by the church to give something up for Lent. In fact, the season of Lent itself is not in the Bible at all. The church developed that season, though, for a purpose. And that was for the people of God to focus on one of the most important events in Jesus' life recorded in Scripture. His walk to the cross, his suffering, his death in our place for our forgiveness.
This season of Lent is part of what we call the church year, and it specifically focuses on what Jesus gave up so that we might have forgiveness and eternal life.
And that's a great way to see it. It's about what Jesus gave up. And so the whole church year follows the seasons of Jesus' life, from anticipation of his birth through his life to his suffering, death, and resurrection, and ascension into heaven, so that we hear in depth that this is God's answer to a world in need. And then we even look at how the church was born to share God's answer to the world in need.
Okay, that's all helpful to know that, but...
should we give up something for Lent?
Yeah, get back to the question again. So let's go at this another way. What would be the purpose of giving up something during this season of repentance and preparation?
And the decision then to voluntarily give up something for Lent, that's the point. It should be to focus on Jesus and his loving sacrifice for us. So the outcome of giving up something for Lent should be one of greater spiritual awareness, greater gratitude to God for his gifts, and greater growth in faith and discipleship.
Let's take a look at each of those three outcomes in detail.
Well, let's talk about greater spiritual awareness. If you sacrifice chocolate, for example.
And I'm sure you've got lots of people's attention right now.
Yeah. Well, for some folks, it might be giving up sushi. I don't know. But that kind of sacrifice, however, should, you know, every time you crave that chocolate or whatever you gave up, that thing you enjoy, the goal then is to remember the sacrifice of Jesus for you. In fact, as you feel the emptiness from not having your craving or desire met, you want to intentionally become aware of Jesus' suffering on your behalf. So giving up something that you personally love during Lent, it can help you focus on the love of God demonstrated in the suffering and death of his Son for your forgiveness.
And St. Paul wrote about that when he said, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
Yeah, the cross. And that's where all this sacrificing should end up. That's what giving up something for Lent, that's where it should take us.
Now, what about those other two outcomes you mentioned? You said greater gratitude to God for his gifts and greater growth in faith and discipleship.
Well, when you give up something, when you create a space in your life that normally isn't there, suddenly you appreciate what you had. So giving up something for Lent isn't meant to make you miserable. It's, again, to help you be thankful.
Because we might tend to notice other blessings much more when they've been removed from our lives.
And that's how a sacrifice during Lent can help you grow in gratitude. And that gratitude can help you grow in faith as a follower of Jesus. You're not just trying to go through the motions and check something off your list during Lent.
It sounds like our goal should be to remember Jesus and then to grow closer to him.
Yeah, and you could even be adding a new discipline in your life, too.
In what sense?
Well, think of it this way. When the giving up gets tough, add a blessing to the equation. So when you feel a craving or you start missing what you've given up, add prayer or scripture reading to the challenge so that Lenten sacrifice can help you focus and even grow as a follower of Jesus.
Well, I guess to sum this up, it sounds like the practice of giving something up for Lent can be a constructive step for spiritual growth, but we must remind the listener they're free to decide whether or not to pursue or observe that practice in their own life.
There you go.
This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.